Good day, and welcome to the IG Group Q3 IMS conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to your host today, Mr. Tim Hauken, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I'm joined this morning by Chris Hill and also by Kieran McKinney. As usual, in a minute, Chris will give some thoughts on the numbers, and then I'll come back and look at some of the other things we've been doing in the period before turning to Q&A. But first, just a few initial thoughts. We've been pleased in this quarter by the swift response of our clients to improved market conditions. We're still seeing very low levels of overall market volatility, but with some better intraday movements in both the Forex and equity markets. And I think there's clearly a much better sentiment in the equity markets. We've seen the Dow hitting record highs in the last day or two, and over the last couple of months, we've had something like a 10% rally in the Dow. A rally of this sort of magnitude is clearly encouraging to our clients. It encourages them to trade individual equities, and I think it also has a beneficial effect on client sentiment. People feel a bit wealthier, and maybe as a result, that gives them more confidence to trade. We continue to develop our platform, but we're very mindful of also keeping our costs in check. And with that, I'll hand over to Chris to talk a little bit more about the financial performance. Chris.
Thanks, Tim. Good morning, everyone. Well, definitely an encouraging quarter, and I'll touch on outlook a little bit later, but the actual result was stronger than we had forecast. Revenue in Q3 was up 88.6 million. That's up year-on-year by 18% and up slightly sequentially in what is normally the lowest quarter of any year. I probably don't have to remind you, but I will, that Q3 last year was relatively weak, and therefore, can I also just add a note of caution to that reminder, which is that Q4 last year was particularly strong. It did include our third-best ever month in May, and that was third best only by a couple of hundred thousand, so a strong quarter. The market backdrop in Q3 just ended was definitely better. There wasn't extreme volatility, but there was a reasonably supportive pattern, which Tim has alluded to. We had a bull market. We had big economic news flow items, including the U.K. credit rating, intraday volatility, and some larger Forex moves, particularly in sterling and the yen. So of the 13.5 million year-on-year growth this quarter, about a third was from shares and about half was from Forex. Overall, active clients were up, and average revenue per client was well ahead. Encouragingly, active client growth was more marked in the less mature markets, but revenue was ahead year-on-year in every market. In Europe and the rest of the world, two-thirds of the growth was as a result of active client growth. In the U.K. and Australia, clients were broadly flat, and growth was driven by revenue per client. In the U.K., that was driven by shares, Forex, and futures, and in Australia, mainly Forex and shares. Client acquisition remains tough in these two markets, but we are seeing low levels of attrition and relatively high rates of reactivation. And during this better quarter, operating costs were held in check across the business in line with our guidance in January. The only other moving part of the P&L was betting duty, which, as you would expect, was more normal and in line with our 6 million per annum year type guidance. Just a note on the balance sheet, you'll see we mentioned in the statement a shift in the shape of the liquidity buffer that we hold to ensure that we can deal with and benefit from times of extreme market activity. The Bypre 12 rules have been in place for some time and had been applied to other parts of the financial services industry. Now it's our turn. So we've agreed with the FSA to transfer up to 100 million of the cash buffer into what's called qualifying instruments. In reality, this is most likely to be U.K. gilts and T-bills and U.S. T-bills. This will continue to be usable to post-broker margin if required during times of market stress. And net-net, I see this having absolutely no effect on the way that we do business. On the subject of broker margin, in Q3, the high point was 285 million, and the average through the quarter was 256 million. And with that, I'll hand back to Tim.
Thanks, Chris. As I said at the beginning, we continue to work on our platform. There have been a number of relatively small incremental improvements to the platform. I guess none of them individually that material, but the cumulative effect should be meaningful over time. One of the things we're focused on is helping to clients get as rapidly as possible from a trading idea to actually trading. So if you like, removing the friction from trading. And four or five examples of that. We continue to develop our Insight platform, which remains very popular with our clients. We have just launched a new mobile app in the UK, which combines spread betting and CFDs in a single platform, which is an important stepping stone towards our eventual goal of having a single account login to allow you to do both products. About a month ago now, we launched push alerts on mobile. That was the single most requested feature from our clients and, again, has proved very popular with our clients. We've just launched a Chrome browser plugin, which allows you to click straight from a web page that mentions a stock that we offer into a dealing ticket. And again, that's been, it's early days, but that's been very popular. And at the beginning of the year, we launched the ability to trade through Bloomberg terminals. On the competitive front, we continue to see a number of our competitors as quite weak, and in some cases they've gone through some very significant management change in the last quarter. However, we've only had one piece of market share data in the last quarter, and that's for the Australian forex market. The forex market is generally much more fragmented than the CFD market because of the presence of a number of forex-only providers. So our market share in the forex market is a bit smaller, a bit lower than in the CFD market. The latest investment trends research shows that we are still number one in the Australian forex market, growing our market share by 2% to 19%. And I think no reason to think that we won't have seen similar sorts of market share gains in other markets where we operate. A few things to mention on the regulatory front. In the US, we've seen the CFTC take further enforcement action, this time against Bank to Binary, which is one of the larger unregulated OTC binary providers. I think this is now the third company that they've acted against. There are a lot of these providers, but it's encouraging that they're picking them off one by one. And this is obviously beneficial to Nadex, which is the only legal way for retail individuals to trade binaries in the US. In Japan, there's still quite a bit of uncertainty about binaries and the regulation of them. Discussions have been ongoing with the regulator for 3 or 4 months now, and it's really quite hard to read the signals that we're getting from them. We're probably a bit less confident about the outcome than we were a couple of months ago. It's worth saying, obviously, Japan is only about 5% of group revenues and binaries making up about a third of that. And then finally, on the regulatory front, or legislative front, the Italians are partway through introducing their own unilateral financial transaction tax, which is incredibly complicated. It's being introduced in two stages. The first of these stages came into force at the beginning of this month and only applies to cash equities. That obviously doesn't affect our client transactions directly, but it does impact on our hedging, which is different to the French financial transaction tax, which doesn't apply to our hedges. We have increased the costs of trading with us to our clients in order to pass on the additional costs that we incur when we hedge. The second stage of the Italian FTT is a tax on derivatives. That doesn't come into force until July, and at this stage it's not yet clear exactly how it will apply to our transactions.
So I think then there's just one final thing to end on, which is looking to the outlook for the year. So guidance in January was for half two in line with half one. Q3 then was clearly stronger than this guidance suggested, which increases confidence in the full year. But as you think about the full year, bear in mind that consumer confidence does remain pretty fragile, and as I said earlier, Q4 last year was a pretty big quarter. None of that caution for Q4, I think, though, diminishes our confidence in the medium and longer term. This does remain a market for the scale player with a clear technological and brand leadership position. So with that, we'll throw it open. Operator, we are now ready for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will take our first question today from Philip Dobbin from Espirito Santo. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Morning, guys. It's notable that in Q3 your revenues are running ahead of your guidance, but you are saying that costs are as with guidance, which kind of suggests some operational gearing in Q3. Could you perhaps just give an idea of your cost forecast into Q4 and actually into 2014? Thank you.
Morning, Phil. There's no change to the cost guidance I gave back in January. We did a lot of work before Christmas to get the cost base in line for what we were looking at as being a 340 million revenue number. Clearly, Q3 has come in better than that. But we've still kept tight control of costs, and we will continue that through to the fourth quarter. So there's no change in guidance for the rest of the year. I think the right time to be talking about costs for next year is when we come to do the results, and we'll talk to you about the plans that we are working through at the moment.
Very much.
Thank you. We will take our next question today from Richard Taylor from Barclays. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Morning, guys. A couple of questions, please. First of all, can you talk a bit more about the client additions or the client declines really in the UK and Australia? It sounds like there's been some benefit from reactivations and also low attrition rates. So what's the kind of underlying trend excluding these factors? And secondly, you mentioned quite a few initiatives which you've introduced in the last quarter or since the start of the year. I appreciate it's very early days, but is any of these, such as push alerts or the Chrome browser stuff or Bloomberg, is that translated through to a meaning proportion of overall deals yet? Thanks.
I'll take the second question first while Chris thinks about the answer to the first one. I mean, it's pretty early days. We're certainly seeing good take-up of both push alerts and the Chrome browser. We actually only formally promoted the Chrome browser add-in to our clients by email. I think it was over this last weekend. But even before that, we had a reasonable number of clients install it. They've used it to look at 300 or 400 different web pages, different websites, and they are actually using it to deal, which is encouraging. So I think we're encouraged by the early take-up of that, but it is very early days.
Morning, Richard. So the first question. So you made the point about UK and Australia. Clients are basically flat, slightly down 1%, basically flat. Now, it is difficult for us at the moment growing or bringing in new clients in the current conditions. And so on the flip side of that, we are seeing very low levels of attrition and we're seeing much higher rates of reactivation. When you look at account opening, which is down year on year, the comparative last year, we actually had strong levels of account opening, particularly in Europe. And the opening of accounts does tend to lag a little bit behind what we're seeing in terms of client activity. So there is some momentum. It has improved against the first and second quarters, but it is still down, and it is still pretty tough to bring in new clients in those current conditions. I think what's encouraging is we are seeing client growth in the in Europe and the rest of the world, but certainly in the more mature markets, it's a lot tougher. And we've made a number of points about sentiment in Australia. Australia is a lot more sticky than the UK at the moment.
Okay. And maybe just a follow-up to that. I mean, I think in the first half, one area you cut back on was marketing, sort of arguing that when there isn't really much going on in markets, it's not a great time to sort of spend that sort of money. Looking into Q4, on the back of a better revenue per client Q3, is that an area where you would consider putting a bit more money into?
Yeah, I think the marketing will start to pick up, because remember, what happened in the first half was the rebrand and the positioning of the website. And so what you'll see as we go into the fourth quarter is much more push around developing the one brand identity across all of the markets in which we're in. You know, as far as the mobile app is concerned, we brought it together on one app, separate login, but we're bringing the business in behind the brand. So there are a number of things that we're doing incrementally. I don't think you'll see a big change, but you know, there were some things that we put in place through last year that we're now building on.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press star one now. We will take our next question today from Martin Price from Bank of America. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good morning. Just had a quick question on regulation. ESMA and the EBA appeared to issue this warning to retail investors about investing in CFDs last month. It sounds like the EBA have issued some guidance to national supervisory authorities regarding what they're describing as the prudential supervision of CFDs. I was just wondering if you get a sense that either ESMA or the EBA are pushing for any material changes to the industry. Presumably it's a positive view if some of the less scrupulous operators are required to clean up their act somewhat, but wondering if you had any comments on that, please. Thank you.
I mean, the ESMA warning was effectively a warning to make sure you know who you deal with and be careful about the counterparty risk. I think it was arguably mildly positive for us, because it was definitely, you know, pointing to the perils of dealing with somebody offshore or not properly regulated. I don't think there are any specific plans for either ESMA or EBA to change the regulation of us. We are shortly going to see ESMA just to establish a bit more of a relationship with them.
Great. Okay, thanks, Tim.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you have a question at this time over the telephone, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. As a final reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. There are currently no further questions in the queue.
Okay, in that case, I think we'll wrap up. Thank you, everybody. Obviously, Chris and Kieran will be around all day if anybody has any further questions. Thanks, everyone.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.